If you have a Bible with you this evening, if you'd turn with us over the book of James, chapter number 2. The book of James, chapter number 2. Verse 14. James, chapter 2. Verse 14. If you get there in your Bible, say amen. Amen. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful of the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Well, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I hear a lot of people saying, well, just simply believe. But friend, when you believe in Christ, there's repentance involved. A person sees themselves as a sinner and they need the Savior. And then the life changes. God moves inside the day that you totally realize, repent, and come to Christ. The Spirit of God comes and lives in you, and He starts up a process within you. Here James is telling folks, he said, now you say that you believe, but you don't ever have any works to back up what you say. We certainly know that works don't get us to God. So James is simply instructing us about a faith that works. A faith that works. You that are saved, you realize the faith that you've got now, it will bring works to the body of Christ. And that's all that he's alluding to. He said, the devils in hell said they also believe and tremble. They know there's a God. But he said, you're supposed to get something that comes along with faith. That is works. So a faith that works. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with these works? In other words, when he got saved, he believed in God. Faith, the works came with his faith. And by works was faith made perfect, complete. The Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now notice, he clarified the Bible always clarifies itself. The Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God done something on his account. And here it is, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you, so we thank you for this time together. I pray that you'd let this teaching be simple, but yet impactful tonight. Thank you for the songs of Zion that's been sung. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you, God, for taking our sin. God, not only our sin, but the sin of the whole world. Lord, I thank you one day that the Spirit of God dealt with my heart and showed me I was a sinner. And Lord, I've been saved by grace through faith, and I sure am glad there are some works that has occupied my life. Thank you for your goodness. Help us now on this message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, and I ask you, amen. And amen. Did you notice in verse 23 the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And here's the phrase I'm interested in this evening. And he was called the friend of God. And I won't preach on that subject tonight, on the friend of God. What are the features of friendship? If I asked you tonight, what is friendship? How would you reply? Here we find that Abraham was the friend of God. What a statement to have God as your friend. I'm glad that God is no respecter of person tonight. And so we know Him as a friend if we know Christ. Now, friendship is a relationship in which people share common interests. It is a fellowship of like-mindedness built on trust. It provides strength to support and weakness, and it shows sympathy and struggles, the features of friendship. What does the Bible teach about Christ and friendship? What does the Bible teach us about friendship? First of all, friendship sticks closely. Sticks closely. Turn with me over in your Bibles in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs chapter number 18. I want you to mark here in Proverbs. We'll be back to it four quick times tonight. We'll go to a couple of the Gospels, but we will be in Proverbs mainly. This friendship sticks closely. Proverbs 18:24. Underline it. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Let's stop right there just a moment. Do you have any friends? If you do, it's because you've shown yourself friendly. When people reach to you, do you ever respond and reach back? If not, you don't have many friends. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't have a friend to my name. Well, they're telling on themselves. For a man must show himself friendly. He must respond. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now I'm glad he is the Lord Jesus tonight. He sticks closer than a brother. Real friends stick together. Their support exceeds the closest ties. Jesus is closer than the nearest family member. Jesus sticks close. You say, well, I've heard that the Bible says that Jesus would never forsake you nor leave you. And I hear people say this, well, what if I leave Him? Well, let me counter on this statement tonight. How can you leave somebody that'll never leave you? I've heard people say, well, what if I leave Him? How can you leave somebody that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Friendship sticks closely. Secondly, keep something there in Proverbs so you can come back. But let's go to John 15:13. Friendship not only sticks closely, but friendship sacrifices completely. John 15:13 in John's Gospel. Friendship sacrifices completely. John 15:13. Henceforth, I call you not servants, is what Jesus said. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Here's our phrase, I've called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's in 15. Now look up in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Friendship sacrifices completely. You and I will totally never understand what the Lord has done for us when He laid down His life for His friend. I've met a lot of people who would help me, but I don't know of many that would say, and I've heard them say, I'd take a bullet for you, but they're not in my life today. But Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for me and you. At Calvary, He gave Himself. And here in our Bible tonight, this friendship, as Jesus calls us friends, not only does it stick closely, but it sacrifices completely. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to ask you something. We owe it all to the Lord tonight. We owe it our all to Him. When we really understand that somebody has given their life for us, it ought to change how we react and how we respond. When we sing songs like Amazing Grace, no longer do we hold up our hands and say thank you. Can I tell you it's still right to tell Him thank you tonight? For friendship sticks closely, but it sacrifices completely. I'm thankful for people in my life that are friends that have made sacrifices for me. Thirdly, and this, the friend of God, as Abraham was, friendship sticks closely. Friendship sacrifices completely. But look in Proverbs 17 and 17. Friendship stays continuously. Friendship stays continuously. Proverbs 17 and 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friendship stays continuously. It's not a short-term relationship. Now get this, He loveth at all times. When I'm bad, He loves me. When I'm trying to do better, He loves me. He loves me at all times. And I think that's where the devil gets in our mind a lot of times when we make a mistake or mess ups. We do things that we let our own self down. But I want to remind you something. Jesus loves us all the time. How many people could you offend and they keep loving you? But yet, we find here the real friendship of Jesus, it stays continuously. He said in Matthew 28 and 20, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I'm glad Jesus stays continuously. I'm glad He walks with me and talks with me. I'm glad when I mess up and let myself down, He still loves me. And this is where we've got to be as Christian people and realize when people mess up, Jesus don't throw His hands down and give up on them. Jesus loves them at all times. Oh, I would venture to say as good a people sitting here tonight on a Sunday night, there are sometimes that you don't act real lovable. I would ponder to say that. But yet Jesus loves us at all time. You know, when you know somebody loves you, It's hard not to love them.
Amen.
What has Jesus done for you? What has Jesus done for me? His friendship sticks closely. It sacrifices completely. It stays continuously. But look in Proverbs 27 and 17. It sharpens conversationally. A friendship sharpens conversationally. I heard this verse for years, Proverbs 27 and 17. I want you to look at it tonight. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance, and here's our phrase, of his friend. Friendship sharpens conversationally. You see, the words of Jesus, they penetrate in us and it brings a holiness in friendship. Sometimes His words, they sharpen us and cut into us in the way that we're living or acting. But Jesus said this, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's good for somebody to be honest with us. I've always said this, a friend will not tell me what I want to hear, but what I need to hear. When I was with Pepsi, well, they would line up down the halls to tell me what I wanted to hear. But I had a few people around me that I knew would tell me what I needed to hear, and it was so impactful to me. A lot of times, truth hurts. I'm thankful I have some Christian friends that will tell me what I need to hear. I live with one. Somebody shake your head up and down tonight. Y'all, you little henpecked looking rascal, you can shake your head up and down. Your wife will tell you the truth too. So, we must realize that a friendship sharpens conversationally. Now, we're not to be rude. We're not to have an attitude. But we are to be honest. Helpful. Helping one another in this Christian walk. Friendship. Not only does it stay continuously, sharpens conversationally, but friendship shows clearly. Shows clearly. Hold your places in Proverbs. Let's go to John 15 and 15. Shows clearly. Friends are open with each other. Many times their plans are not shrouded in secrecy. As the friends of Jesus, we are informed about His intentions. He don't have a secret agenda. He's open with us through His Word. In John 15 and 15, here the Bible says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In other words, Jesus, as our friend, shows us clearly. He don't have a hidden agenda. If you want to know what Jesus has to say about it, read what He had to say. Jesus, being a friend, He shows clearly. He sharpens conversationally. And many times in Proverbs, look here, Proverbs 27 and 6, a friend speaks cuttingly. It cuts us sometimes. Proverbs 27 and 6. There was a lady one time, for illustration. I went over to their house, and her husband and I are still good friends. Talking about friendship speaks cuttingly. It cuts. I was sitting there and just talking with him about hunting and whatever we do, and I got ready to leave. She said, "Preacher, could I say something to you honestly?" And I sort of drew up when she said that. And she said, "I wish that you would just preach to us and feed us that is there instead of preaching to them people that's not there." I could have went on that car tire, come home and ask them, "Renee, I just heard some of the greatest news about me I've heard in a long time. I'm preaching to people that's not at church." Makes a lot of sense. I needed that. "Well, Brother Kim, what was you doing?" "I was chewing everybody out for not being at church, but they wasn't here to hear it." The people that was faithful is here. And that really helped me, but I'm going to be honest with you, that cut me that day. It cut me because I guess I was prideful. And let me tell you, in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 6, Proverbs 27 and 6, it speaks cuttingly. Proverbs 27, verse number 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." What about that? I guess you could think, well, if you put your confidence in anybody as a friend, they're going to wound you. That's probably a true statement. But in the light of this teaching tonight on friendship speaks cuttingly, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, the surgeon's knife often saves lives. Sometimes the words of Jesus cut deeply. But they are declared to be the highest in devotion and development. A lot of times I think I'm doing pretty good till I hear a sermon. Or I read a text. And it cuts me. I'm glad we got the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, it speaks cuttingly. And lastly tonight on this friendship, Proverbs 27 and 9, it shoulders cheerfully. A friend shoulders cheerfully. Proverbs 27, 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doeth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." But watch your Bible. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart." I've gotten up to preach before and somebody'd say, "Here's Brother Ken. He's traveled a long way. I think y'all enjoy listening to him tonight. He's a great preacher." And I get up and I say, "You know, perfume smells good, but you better not drink none of it. It'll kill you." And so we're nothing without Christ. He's everything. We can do nothing without Him. And here the Bible teaches us that a friend shoulders cheerfully. Proverbs 27 and 9. "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doeth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You see, oftentimes by our downtrodden difficulties is cheered up by a friend who offers advice and encouragement to bear the trouble. We're here tonight to acknowledge the greatness of the Lord Jesus and the nearness of our friend who will never leave us, who sacrificed Himself on our behalf, who shares clearly with us all of His plans, who says exactly what we need to hear, and who lifts our spirits by His words. Last Sunday night was one of the most helpful services in this place that I've been in a long time. I'm thankful for the people of God that in this walk toward heaven cheer us along the way. You see, a friend not only speaks cuttingly, but they shoulder cheerfully. I heard of something in prayer room tonight that happened here this morning. I had no idea. People helping people. That's what we need to be doing. Being a friend. You need a friend. Show yourself friendly. Those saying, some of you going to have to... I ain't going to say that. You can't take it. I'm glad we have a friend. You always remember this, a man that has friends, not might, but must show himself friendly. You ladies need a friend. I've heard a lot about the women's retreat and how much you enjoyed being there. You need friends. Men, we need each other. We need friendship. We need somebody to talk to. And I was preaching the other Sunday, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm glad we can talk to some people and they not broadcast it and put it in the Bowden Bulletin. We need each other. But I'm glad there's a friend of all friends tonight. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, Ken Bowman, I love you at all times. Don't you forget, I love you. No matter what you're doing, I love you. It's hard to go against somebody that loves you. Now, I appreciate you being here tonight. Let's stand to our feet. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. Remember our service here.